Blog Talk Radio.
Good day, everyone. As I start the day off with my usual rituals, yes, a good prayer. Anyway, welcome back to the show, Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Keith Harris, host of the Keith Harris Show. And of course, it's a lovely, lovely afternoon and evening. Big shout out to everybody out there. I hope your day has been wonderful. It's freezing on this end. I try to tell, you know, I try to do my little weather forecast report for this side I'm over here at. And but I do it a little different. I don't, you know, sometimes I give you the temperature, and sometimes I just say it's hot as hell. And sometimes I just say it's freezing. And right now it's freezing cold. All right. Now, today, we have a very special episode of the show. We're excited to have this special guest on. I'm going to tell you, what she's doing is making a tremendous difference to our history, as a matter of fact. Bringing a lot of the culture and some of the things that people might have forgot about in the world of rock and roll that we need to be aware of and that we need to keep up with, okay? Punk rock and things of that nature, all right? So, without any further ado, please put your hands together as we roll out the radio red carpet for Hollywood artists. Check this out now. Hollywood artist, writer, actress, musician, and punk museum curator, Tequila Mockingbird. Good day, Tequila.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm doing absolutely wonderful.
Oh, that's great. It's such a wonderful.
Listen,
where are you?
I'm in North Carolina.
And what's the weather like in North Carolina?
Let's see. It's sunny outside. The wind is what, about 15, anywhere between 15 to 20 miles an hour. I believe they said it could have got up to 40 miles an hour wind chill factor. But so, yeah, it's cold. It's cold, it's windy, but the sun is shining, and we can expect that all week long.
Oh, that's fantastic. Sunshine.
Well,
I'm in California. I'm in California, and it's very sunny.
Indeed, indeed. No rain lately?
Last week you could have gotten a boat. Actually, we were in drought for the last 5 years, and it rained so much in the last, 2 weeks ago, it rained so much that we're no longer in a drought situation.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's how it is. You guys, I think, I'm not sure, but you guys get rain in spurts, and then you guys will go for a drought for a while.
Yes, it's like that here.
Wow. You know what, though? There's still no complaining. Listen, still no one complains about the California weather, though. It's nice. Like, at the end of the day, it's pretty good compared to other places, right?
Yes, I mean, you know, it's fantastic because it's, like, I guess probably 73 today. And it's been lurking around 73 to 81 for the last 4 days. And like I said, last week and the week before and the week before that, it was like raining cats and dogs.
Wow. Well, I tell you, we're going to get into the festival, to the film festival coming up. But, you know, it kind of leads into that because we are hoping, and I know you guys are too, I'm sure it's going to be a mass turnout one either way. But we're looking forward to the Punk Museum Film Festival coming up. So hopefully the weather will be awesome for that. And first we'll talk about the museum itself, though. And just we'll start, Tequila. First of all, let's start with where you're from. Let's let everybody know where you hail from and just a little bit about yourself.
I'm from Cleveland, Ohio. I am a Coast Guard brat. My dad went all over the United States and the Philippines, Japan, Hawaii, et cetera, just everywhere. And then when I got off their roller coaster, I started to travel myself. So Amsterdam and London are my favorites. And
wow.
I live in L.A. because I used to go to Catholic school here, and I fell in love with the palm trees. And so I've moved back to be with the palm trees.
That's cool. You know what? Being able to, I guess being, you know, being part of a military family like that, it was pretty cool. Though at the same time, a lot of people get to experience different cultures, different foods, languages. So you know, it's a good thing. I know sometimes it's tiring. It could be a culture shock, but there's a positive side to it, right?
Well, you travel all over the world, and you learn that people are people all over the world. Unlike our president or his faculty, we learn that people get along with each other all over the world, and it's better that way.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I totally agree. I haven't been too many places, a lot of places, but the same, like people I've met from other places, is so true. Like when you step in, you know, when we step outside of our world sometimes and we get to step into the lives that other people lead, and, you know, we just get the intake of some of the ways that they live by, we understand their cultures more. And so it's a good thing to be able to travel like that.
Well, we're all human. We all have the same heartbeat. So as long as we're on that level, then, you know, turn out
right.
The sun and we're all the same color. So I don't know what the problem is.
And you know what, I like the way you just put that so laid back, because that's the truth. Like, why is it so difficult? Why do people throw so many things in the middle of what doesn't have to be so complicated? Now, on to the good stuff. On to the happy stuff. Now, okay, the punk rock museum, and I put LA in front of it because I know this is the LA punk rock museum. You founded and started this, right?
Well, I founded and started the institution that is the punk museum, which is the bringing in all the artists that have created work during the 70s and 80s in punk. 74 to 84 were the seminal years. And bringing that together, yeah, I did that. Basically, the original punk museum was, I think, 1985. My girlfriend, Xene Cervenka from X, had a display case in her store, which was called You've Got Bad Taste, and she called that the punk museum. So it was once just a display case. And
right.
I've taken it to a different level. So at one point we had a huge warehouse downtown, and we used to fill it with art all the time. Now it's kind of broken up into pieces and is in locations like the Farmers Market at 3rd and Fairfax, which has been there for 50, 60 years. We're about to do Beyond Baroque with the film festival. That's been there 50 years. This is the 40-year anniversary of punk rock. And
right.
We have an installation at a place called Meow Meows in Pasadena. We have an installation at a pizza parlor called Pappy's Pizzeria. And so I've split it up and I've put, like, the seeds everywhere. And so, like, there are little museums. We have one in San Francisco called at the Parkside. That's the San Francisco Punk Museum. Online, we have Berlin, New York, San Francisco, London, Scotland, and Las Vegas. And we just basically keep them updated on what's going on in their town and what's cool. And, you know, punk's really about, like, not buying into the status quo, especially, like, in a situation like now with our political situation. To be able to punk was to disagree with whatever it is that's wrong.
Right, right. Now, what made you decide? Did you grow up? I mean, you know, listen, from what you do, I'm assuming you liked different genres of music. You obviously liked punk rock or listened to punk rock. Was that an influence as to what made you decide to do this? Because you may have liked punk rock, or was it really, you know, a historic thing for you, or both?
Well, it's more a historic thing. And also, what happened was I started in punk, I knew about punk from 74 because I was a model in New York and I was hanging around with the New York Dolls. And they told me what crazy, wild, cool things were going on in England and that their political system was failing them, and so that music had become a musical newspaper to keep people on top of what's actually going on in the world. So that was what punk's original function was to inform and to talk about the social situation as it was. And so we had Margaret Thatcher running around like a crazy woman and God Save the Queen. And we had Lady Diana trying, you know, in her situation. It came out of that sort of thing. And in New York, it was also very kind of dirty, and people were just living their lives and saying what they believed in and what they felt. And
right.
I think punk was a virus. It was kind of like somebody sneezed and somebody else caught the cold kind of thing.
Okay.
Everyone always tries to decide whether it was New York or London. But it felt like, because I traveled all over the world, it felt like it happened at the same time. Like some kind of space dust hit everybody at the same time, and they realized they were dissatisfied with the way things were and didn't want to sing the "Oh Baby, I Love You" crap anymore and get into some serious music. Like, I grew up, you know, I'm a black girl, so I grew up with listening to James Brown, Aretha Franklin, and I had to, the thing is, when you hear it every day, then you start to question, like, your sanity. And it's like, yeah, it's great music and all that, but it's like, I don't want to know, "Oh, baby, you want me, oh, baby, you want to do this to me, you want to do that to me." I'm much more interested in someone saying this situation cannot stand and Trump needs to get the fuck out of the White House.
Right, right. Hey, you know what? And punk music, and I'm learning, so whenever I use a wrong term, do correct me. But, okay, and for those who don't know, because punk rock is it's a great form of expression, because like you say, it doesn't seem like in punk people are afraid to express themselves. But for those who might not know the line between, and I want to know too, the term punk rock, is there a difference in punk rock or just rock music, or where does punk rock lie?
Well, rock became systemized as well. I mean, like I say, soul music became basically, it had to be about you love me and I love you kind of stuff. And then rock music started turning into commercial music as well, which wasn't giving you any kind of message. It starts off, all music starts off with a message usually, and then it becomes diluted, and the same formula is used over and over again because it gives you the same feeling musically, and they don't want you to listen to the lyrics. They want you to be off in la-la land somewhere.
Yeah.
So that's what I see the difference is. The reason I started the Punk Museum is because a person, there was a band called The Germs, and when I was, I used to book a TV show called New Wave Theater that was very famous. It was on before MTV. It was on Night Flight. It's still on Night Flight if you look up nightflight.com. It's been on, I did it from 1980 to 1983. We booked all the punk rock bands. I was the booker. X, Blasters, Go-Go's, Black Flag, Circle Jerk, Castration Squad, all the best of the underground. And we were all kids, you know, so it was just kids expressing themselves in a world full of adults who were, adults gone wrong, adults gone wild. And was the kind of Nixon kind of George Bushy people running the nation. So, of course, the backlash is that the kids are like, who the hell are these people and get them out of my life, right?
Right.
So that was kind of how punk reacted to that. So my friend Darby asked me if I would keep punk rock alive. And I said, of course, Darby, what are you up to? And he's like, well, don't worry. And he hugged me and he kissed me. And he went traipsing off and played his gig, his band Darby Crash at the Starwood. And then he killed himself. And so I had promised him
Sorry to cut you off, but, you know, interesting story, and it is deep, and we want to, I want to go back on that. So he asked you to keep punk rock alive, and this is before he passed away.
Before he killed himself 3 days later.
Right, before, well, yeah, right. So, wow, that must have, I'm assuming you must have sat down for a while after that. I'm sure you did, because you know, you knew the guy, but you sat down, you probably sat down for a while and just thought about that for a second. How did that hit you, if you don't mind me asking?
Well, I didn't.
Or
know
did you
how
did you feel
respond.
a certain
Well, he was a little kid too, you know, so that made it even harder for me. I mean, 22 or something like that, you know, like. But I knew what he meant, and I knew what he wanted, and I feel that that's what I have been pursuing the last 5 years. Is I'm doing a lot of I curate shows, so I walk into someone's art gallery that has nothing on the walls, and then I bring together all the people that I know that are connected to that time, and I put them and I display them, and we give basically history lessons. I've taught at UCLA this subject, so it's about the time. It's about the reaction to what was going on around us. Darby's reaction was to kill himself. So I bet a lot of people feel like that today with the political situation. But then you have to have your champions who stay around and make it work, you know?
Right. And to carry it on. And you know what? I'm not so familiar with punk rock to be able to speak on it, but I there are some punk rock songs that I've had. I don't know the names, but I like them, and I'm gonna tell you what, a lot of punk rock music is inspiration. That's why I mentioned earlier, as far as people, you know, when you listen to that, listen, I've listened to songs, I've been in the car on the radio, and I turn on songs and I'm listening to that just as well as hip hop. Some of my friends are looking at me like I'm crazy. They're like, you know, you listen to this stuff, and I'm like, yeah. And I tell them, if you listen to the words, if you listen to what the song is about, and the people are saying, they're saying the same thing we are, but they're saying it in their own way.
Exactly, the same thing they're saying it their own way. You know, they're just communicating in a different way. But you know, dissatisfaction that hip hop actually. I mean, there's satisfaction too. I mean, it's not like we hate everything. We like beer and TV. You know, but you know. We also don't like it when people are stepping on our rights, and we're a little more, you know, like I came up when I was little, I used to hang out with the Black Panthers. So I was like little, I mean, 8 years old and going to Black Panther meetings and stuff. So I didn't. And then when I was older and living out of the country, they had the White Panthers. And the White Panthers were the hippies that aligned themselves with the Black Panthers. So I kind of had a well-rounded view of the political situation and the response. And this movement was the closest thing I could find to the proper response to continuing a revolution.
Wow. And so, and you know what, and it's cool, you know, there's a lot of different causes and so many causes, and you chose a cause that a lot of, you know, I've heard people stand for those causes, but I think one that you're doing is one that not enough, there wasn't enough of. And so I just feel as though what you're bringing to the table, and that's why I call it, I keep using the term historic, because we take so many other museums and we look at the past. Generations go on, and generations of today and tomorrow may never know who some of these people are. If it wasn't for people like To Kill a Mockingbird bringing that to the forefront, you guys have the Punk Music Film Festival. I'm gonna jump around with a little while, because I'm gonna go back also and ask you about some writing and some acting also, To Kill It, if you don't mind.
Mm-hmm. No problem.
Okay.
No problem.
All right, cool. But I want to go back and forth with the Punk Music Film Festival, because I want that to stay in people's minds. That's March 16th. That's tomorrow.
Tomorrow night, yes.
Okay.
It's a place called Beyond Baroque, which is one of the, here it says, Beyond Baroque Foundation in Venice, California is a nonprofit, and it's at 681 Venice Boulevard, and it is tax exempt. And so it's a government organization finally accepting punk rock for a night.
Oh.
And we're launching our punk film festival there, our museum film festival. We're showing, there's an all-girl band called L7. And an L7 means a square. If you put an L and a 7 together, that's a perfect square.
Oh, I just drew that. And, okay.
Right? So that's why they named themselves L7. And they're an all-girl band. Really, really rock and roll. And when you... Yes, they're punk, but they're just like rock and roll on steroids. So I suggest that you check out L7 because they're a fantastic band. And this Pretend That You're Dead is the name of their movie, and we'll be showing that tomorrow. We're going to show a movie called Punk's Not Dead, done by Susan Dreyer. She's a great director, and she also directed something called Code Blue, which stars Jack Grisham, who's from a band called TSOL, which is actually True Sons of Liberty. And then also we have some Suzy Quatro footage. So that's like way rock and roll and pre-punk, but like with the velocity of punk. And one of, the thing of her being like one of the first women to wield a bass like that is why we're showing that. And that was put together by Liam Firminger in Australia. So let's see. And then we have some stuff from England. And we have, you know, basically it's like all the different museums have given. My friend and partner Andre Lambret in San Francisco, who runs the San Francisco Punk Museum, gave us Susan Dreyer. And then I'm working with Beachcomber Dancer Films, who actually put on the Marina Del Rey Film Festival, the Venice Beach, Culver City, and Silicon Valley Film Festival. So it's very professional. And, you know, I'm gathering films from all over the world about that time and that music. And I think it's a great vacation from the world that we live in to be able to go and encapsulate yourself in a happy past, which is what most rock and roll people are looking for. It's like this music is better than drugs when you put it in the right atmosphere.
Yeah. And you know, you mentioned Australia, you mentioned London and places like that. And the diehard fans, they remember, they know. But you brought it back to my minds and so many others. That's true, because Australia and London, these places are, they love punk rock. And so with the film festival coming up, are you guys, there going to be a few films from other countries and things like that that are going to be in the festival too?
Yes, yes. We have, like I say, Australia, San Francisco, London.
Right.
The artists that I have are from all over the world. Most I've got two German photographers that are with us, Brian Tucker, who does like huge wall-sized mural nudes of punk rockers from back in the day. So it's spicy and exciting, and the art for your eyes, and there'll be music, and I'll have vendors outside that, you know, from like Meow Meows and records from the old days that people can look through. And to find jewelry that's done by, you know, underground people. And that's what I'm doing. I'm just trying to kind of keep a community together that could be easily set asunder. We've all been hanging out with each other for 40 years now. You know, like every time I say I'm doing a punk project, everybody gets all hysterical. And I'm like, most punks are almost 60 now, so
you crazy.
And
you know what,
I was in like a million movies playing punk rocker. So I mean, I was in Batman Forever. I've been in CSI with Lawrence Fishburne playing a voodoo priestess directed by William Friedkin, who did The Exorcist. I sing the title song.
I'm sorry, you know what?
I'm
sorry, Tequila. Take that back. I'm sorry. Rewind that, because I lost you for a second. You were CSI and what else?
CSI with Lawrence Fishburne, and I said Lawrence was my old boyfriend when I was younger.
Wait, who is?
So,
Lawrence Fishburne?
Yeah.
What? Okay,
yeah,
okay.
We all go back. You know, Lawrence was a punk boy. He was with us. He hung out with us.
Wow,
he is like, he is a very wise man.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? And you could tell that. This is your show. I ain't gonna let him steal it. But you know what? And you can kind of tell that. You can tell that too. Like even in his acting and stuff like that, and just being so well spoken in some of the roles he plays. Not surprised at all. Not surprised at all. You were running with a small crew too. Hey, Lawrence, if you listen, you learned that. He learned something from.
He's a great guy too. I mean, really great person. So Leo DiCaprio grew up in my backyard when I had art galleries back in the day. So, I mean, it's just like it's a close community. Everybody knows each other, kind of. You know, if you're in the arts, it was like that in the 80s, and I think in the 90s, everybody kind of drifted apart and stopped taking care. You know, the things I care about are, you know, their path.
Right. Yeah.
For them.
Yeah, you were. You're right. You listen, you know what? And you can say it, you know what I'm saying? You can come out and say it on the show. It's true. I agree. Things are far from, well, I won't say far, but it's just different than it used to be. Like there's not as much care about what's happening in a lot of art. And this is not to say all of it, because there's still some great, genuine works out there that really get to the art and matters of what we deal with as people. But I agree. Things are kind of being overlooked. So many people just have no clue as to what's going on in the world and in the arts that we use to express it, like what you guys do. That, you know, they're losing out on that. So it's crazy.
As a child, I grew up with like the Black Panthers. Nobody minced words then. You know,
yeah.
I mean, if you have something, it's like people say, oh, don't do politics on Facebook. It's like, look, I want my opinion to count.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Look, now, how'd you get started? And was it just being around so many people like yourself who were movers and shakers, or people who you all kind of shared the same goal? Things you wanted to do, they were within the same, they lined up kind of parallel career-wise. Did that have something to do with why you got into acting in the first place? Or what did you do first? Were you a writer first, an actor? Because you've done so much. A musician? We ain't even talked about that yet. Like,
yeah, I sing Kurt Weill. I sing German opera. I'm dating I can't say it.
That's a good girl. Go ahead, get that key.
Yeah, I sing German opera. I hang around with the Prince of Schaumburg, Germany. I do all kinds of. I sing a lot of Led Zeppelin because I have the range, so I always get hired to sing Flynn and Stones and Aerosmith. I write music for film. I'm a music supervisor for film. I did a movie called Mascara with Steve Jones from the Sex Pistols as the music supervisor, and a movie called Naked Jane, one called Strangers Online. I'm getting ready to do a couple new movies coming up. I just keep really busy.
Hey, you know what? Sorry to cut you off, yo. Is Strangers Online, is that movie out already?
Yeah, it's online. You can see it.
I think it was like 2 weeks ago. I was scrolling through movies and I seen that. That's why I remember the title.
Yeah, it's pretty. I do some leftist crazy stuff like art. You know, so you know the directors I work with are not putting out normal. Boring. It's always exciting. Whatever I'm working on, if it's not exciting, I'm not involved. So.
Wow. I know that's right.
You know,
but you
life
know what?
Life is too short. You know, it's life is too short to waste your time doing nothing.
Wow. What do you now? Let's talk about Club Fluffer. Am I saying that?
Yes, Club Fluffer. It was. Yeah. I had that a couple of years ago. I haven't been doing it lately. I used to have strippers and rock and roll shows.
You wow, Tequila. You wow, strippers.
I know. Well, I want to make it exciting for everybody. You know, it's like a short trip. You might as well enjoy it. You know.
Hey, but that's live though. That's live. I like that. You know what I'm saying? And it's definitely outside the box. So you had the strippers at the same time as the band was playing.
Yeah, I had that, and I, you know, Club Fluffer was just over the top. You
that's
know.
That's what's up though.
But,
that's crazy. I like that though. Hey, let me ask. I'm sorry, let me ask you, do they have many, because you know that takes us back to one of those back in the, you know what, I can see you thought of that too, because you know how the style was, and you know, the original. That seems like an idea, something that people would have saw, you know, years ago. The type of thing they might would have even tried to put restrictions on, you know, nowadays. But I think that's cool how you took people back to that essence of the olden days, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, the whole thing is like time travel. There's a place called the Rainbow here, and it is one of my best friends was Lemmy Kilmister from Motorhead. He died recently, and he was like the hardest core, loudest band ever. And the thing about him, he had been going to the same club since the 70s, since like 74 when they opened. Well, the Rainbow is fantastic. It was, I think it was purchased by a cop named Mario, who we all love, when he retired. And it's like, when you walk into the Rainbow, you're walking into 1976. It
wow.
is like the people with the big hair and the skin tight clothes and the leather and, you know, the whole enchilada. It's like, and that's what I wanted to reproduce with my punk museum, is when you walk in, you feel like you've lost 25 years.
Yeah, I can imagine. I can imagine that.
Check those 25 years at the door and just be yourself again.
Wow. Now, and you know, I want to make sure I got this correct again, but there are talks that you could be working on a film coming out involving Tom Hanks and John Malkovich, the great Buck Howard.
Yeah, I was in that actually. My friend Ryan and I played a married couple in that, but I've never seen it.
Wow.
I've done so many movies I haven't seen, believe me. I'm like, you know, Hollywood is like, you have fun making the movie and then you're on to other things. You don't really dwell on that stuff. So I don't even know if we made it, if we're in the movie, or if we're on the cutting room floor. I have no clue, but I know I'm in it.
Hey, that's what's up. Now, how was it for you when you – how did you get into being an actress? Like, did you just want to do it? Was it the people you were around?
We were all punks, and because we looked so extreme – my hair is – was usually fluorescent yellow green dreadlocks.
Okay.
And like super
like
neon
that.
Dreadlocks. And I usually dressed right up to the style because I was a model, and so I worked for all the designers at the time. So I always had my plaid bondage pants, my look. I had my look together. So the movies started coming around and courting all my friends to be in the movies. This woman, Janet Cunningham, became my agent when we first started, and we did, I mean, so many movies, as you know, just extras.
Yeah.
And the last thing I did was like 3 weeks ago, I did a Blondie video called You're My Fun that just came out. So, you know, it's just I did a million rock videos. I was like, Would I Lie to You by the Eurythmics, Unchain My Heart with Joe Cocker, just like tons of that stuff. So, I mean, it's kind of natural when you grow up doing that stuff.
Now, with so much going on, always busy, where did you time to do TV, Tequila TV.
I did Tequila TV for 30 years. For 30 years, I had a cable program on while I did all this other stuff. So I tend to, I'm like that. It's like I write for magazines. I write for, I wrote for Venice Magazine. I've written for Industrial Anarchy. I write for LA Beat, Hollywood Times, Scrat,
wow.
Rock City News. Yeah, I've been. I'm always recording what I see around me.
Wow.
So yes, as I do believe I'm a historian because I kind of feel like all this could go away any day now, but words somehow live forever if they're put in the right place. So.
Wow. Wow. And
that's my
going
approach.
Going back to the. Wow, it's a heavy approach. Listen, and going back to the festival coming up tomorrow. Again, everybody out there, that is tomorrow. If you're in a business meeting, what's tomorrow? Thursday? Yeah, Thursday. If you got a business, yeah. If you have a business meeting Friday, matter of fact, Friday for all the people going to LA, this going out or going to California to do business. Because where are you guys going to be at again?
Venice
for the
Beach.
Festival.
Which is fantastic vacation spot. So we'll be at Venice Beach. It's called Beyond Baroque, and it's a nonprofit facility for artists.
Exactly.
It's on Venice Boulevard. So, just look it up and come join us. We'll be showing movies, and we'll have some vendors going, and we have the most incredible bookshop inside the facility. It's amazing. My girlfriend, Sandy West, she's my friend that I've known forever, who does all the film festivals, is helping me do this project. And my companion in San Francisco, Andre Lambret, is helping me do a lot of stuff. So we've been doing a lot of creative gathering of art and just kind of trying to catalog it and keep it safe. Because, you know, when our friends die, it all goes in the garbage can. You know that.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what? For everybody out there, too, it'll be a great time to just go out and talk to some of the musicians as well. Even, I'm sure, get to talk to Tequila out there and ask questions. Don't be afraid to ask questions and you know, go up and learn some things that you want to learn or some things that you may want to know and network. As well as, you know, enjoying the films, because it's also about that. It's a great place to meet and things like that too, right?
Yes. Yeah, it'll be very social, and the people will be really great. Shouldn't be any problems. Looks like smooth sailing. People want to see the movies, that's for sure. And the place is lovely. It's really beautiful. The weather's gorgeous right now. You can sit outside. We've got tables outside all over the place, and it is the Venice Art Walk. So it's the beginning of the art walk, and you could walk all down the street, and you can see all the different galleries are open in Venice on Thursday, tomorrow. So it's really great for just wandering around the city for this one day. It's going to be fantastic.
Wow. Let me ask, what do you play any instruments, Tequila?
I play bass badly, but I like what I do.
You play bass badly. You might think you play it badly. Let me ask you the question. Has anybody else said you play it badly?
I had a boyfriend who told me I played it badly, but I had a feeling it was because he wanted to be the only one playing bass in the band.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, that could definitely happen.
I was crawling up his tree. He wasn't liking that. Actually, I like it. I like what I do. I mean, I play it really hard, so, you know.
You
play hard. That's all.
You say you play hard. You say you play hard.
I play
hard.
I play hard. I play bass hard. Mm-hmm.
You mean like you put your all into a type, or is it?
Yes, and. I think, you know,
I can tell
that,
just by the way
you're
saying it,
Tequila,
that
I think he didn't, you know, really want me playing bass because that would be like, you know, some kind of weird ass competition with him. But, you know, that's okay. I got rid of him 12 years ago for that stuff.
Hey, you know what? Osgray say, out of all the things you done accomplished, bass should be the last thing that he got to be jealous about. If he's a hater like that,
well,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And you know how that works. Okay.
Yeah.
Life moves on, you know.
Right.
I got 300 songs out of him before we broke up, so that was all right.
Dang. Hey, he probably still
he wrote
crying.
Me a couple years later. He wrote me a couple years later and said, "You got the best of me." Yep, we're working over here. We're not messing around.
Hey, that's what I'm talking about. I love that. I love that. Listen, okay, man, what's in the works? Listen, big shouts out to Chris too. You and Chris Morrissey got any plans of working on anything in the future?
Yes, we're gonna do a movie together. We're gonna be by next year. We'll be in the other film festivals, I'm sure.
Okay.
We're negotiating all our projects now. I'm working on two other films I'm working on casting with one. I'm trying to bring in the Prince of Schaumburg, Mario Max Lepe, and this girl named this girl whose name is Elena von Stroheim, and her grandpa was Eric von Stroheim, who was like a major Hollywood star in German film star, and I'm trying to get her to play Marlene Dietrich in a biopic that we're doing. And you know, I just always have something going on because I am creative and I do have a handle on what's going on, and I'm a good judge of character, so I try to, you know, keep my options open in what direction I want to work. And this year I'm going more for film festivals and making movies. Last year my focus was music. Year before that I was doing radio. Before that I did television. So, you know, I just kind of grow and learn just like everybody else.
Right. Hey, let's talk a little about the radio show for a second too, because that's really cool. That must have been a really cool job to do.
Mm-hmm.
What was that like? Was it a talk show or?
I had two shows. I had one called The Cocktail Hour, and it was music that you could drink to.
Oh, okay. Right.
So,
the cocktail hour,
you know,
right?
Music that you would be able to kick back and have drinks and, you know, keep really mellow, fair kind of thing. And then I had another show that was Mary Jane's Medical Marijuana Hour. And Mary Jane's always. I have like tons of recipes, and we tried some out on the air. That worked out. And very super creative topics. The marijuana laws, that's the kind of stuff we focused on with that radio show. And we stopped doing the show just as marijuana became semi-legal. So I don't know what happened. The partner I had in that one just like pooped out after 300 shows. I think that's probably my max. Is all my stuff. Well, The Cocktail Hour for 5 years, and we did Mary Jane's for, I guess, 3 years, and I did the Tequila TV for 30 years, and I had my own newspaper called Dude about 20 years ago. So I learned to do newspapers when I was 8 years old in the Catholic school lithograph office. So,
wow.
I love the lithograph machine. So I would just like make my own newspapers about, you know, who got kissed behind the cherry tree.
Yeah. It would be like a whole breaking newspaper news report about one thing.
Yeah, when you're like, when you're 7 or 8, that's big news.
Right, right. You know what? Listen, I'm going to say this. You know, you cross the line in so many ways, and I mean that in a good way. Let me start out with that. You crossed the line in so many ways. You took so many steps and did other people. You represented so many people almost as a leader in so many situations and ordeals that other people might be afraid to speak up. How do you, Tequila, how do you stay strong? How do you stay strong? Just something for the people. How do you stay strong? A lot of people fold under pressure. A lot of people say, oh, I don't want that controversy, or I don't want to worry about what people think. A lot of people sell out. You haven't. You have not sold out, and you held your position. How do you do that? How do you be such a leader for the people?
Well, I think, you know, you have to do it for yourself. It's like what you believe in and what you're willing to go through for what you care about. I care about art and music, and I'm not limited. Like, a lot of my friends are punk, and that's it. They don't do anything but punk. That's it. But I was lucky enough, being raised all over the world, to have multi-interests, like opera and Kurt Vile, and I went to Baptist church and Catholic school, and, you know, you get a really good overview that this world is filled with many different flowers, and you get to pick which ones you want to take home.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so that opened up. It opened up. I mean, on a smaller scale, I can understand what you mean, because sometimes you can be, even in environments, sometimes you can be in an environment that might not be feeling one particular thing. But the beauty of being versatile is that you can find somewhere. There's also people that you can find with that do share and appreciate what it is that you're trying to do, or the message that you're trying to give out, opposed to some people that might be more closed-minded about a lot of things.
Well, you know, people who don't like what I do, you know, I am Black, so I do have to put up with, like, the Oi community and, you know, the people that, you know, think that they're better than me and all that, but I know for a fact that they're not. So once you make that your mantra and make that your life, then nobody can get over on you. They can say whatever the fuck they want. Excuse my language. They can say whatever they want, but you know deep down in your heart that you're, like, they're equal and even better most of the time, because, you know, we're dealing with a lot of idiots out there. And I chalk it up to, like, ill-educated, graceless, immature, you know. And, you know, I'm not going to put you down because you can try to put me down, but it's like, I just know that you're not up to snuff. You're not educated enough to be open enough to be, your opinion can't matter to me because you're not a fully evolved person. So why would I take any of your advice or listen to your opinions? You're not a fully evolved person. And I think, I think that's how you have to approach the entire world, is like, either you know what you're doing or you don't. And if you don't, it's better to ask. Find yourself a mentor. Find someone you respect and align yourself with them. Other than that, you know, like, I run alone most of the time, because if, you know, I get, like, all kinds of weird jealousies, like, I like your boyfriend. It's like, well, but you've never met him. But I think I'd be better with him than you. It's like, yeah, you do, and you've never met him? Well, I don't think so. So I know you're an idiot, and you are the weakest link. You must go, you know? And, you know, you could have to clean your house every week, you know, because there are people who would do you harm spiritually, intellectually, metaphysically, or in reality. So you have to guard your own castle.
Yeah.
At all times, to keep the monsters out.
That's one of that's one of the biggest jewels right there, or a very important jewel you just dropped. And believe in yourself and know yourself. Know yourself. know your worth, right?
Exactly.
Absolutely. Listen, tickets to the festival. Where can people go online to find out how much the tickets are? Can you tell us now? And
tickets are between $5 and $10 because it's a nonprofit and we want you to donate what your heart wants to donate. If you're poor, we can give you a $5 rate. If you got a little money and you respect what we're doing, you can slip us the extra $5. let's see. I think you get your ticket at http://beachdancerfilms.com and / LA Punk Museum, Punk Film Festival.
Right. We'll make sure we'll also have it posted on the site too after the show. We'll put it up on the Facebook site and the Blog Talk site as well.
Yeah, just go to the picture above my, on the top of my page has all the information on it. It says LA Punk Film Festival, official selection, 2017.
Right. Also, some of the museum locations where people can go check out, go see things, and where can they go? Or what site can they go to also to find the different locations?
Okay, so lapunkmuseum.com is the mother site. And Farmers Market on 3rd and Fairfax has Johnny Rotten's favorite cartoonist up on the wall. Also, downtown they have Tom Nee's work, which is the early Chili Peppers, Billy Zoom from X, MIA, DOA, Fishbone, all, that sort of thing, like HR, Bad Brains, downtown at Pappy's Pizzeria, that's at 109 8th Street. We have installation at Meow Meows in Pasadena. That's Meow Meow. That's one word with a Z at the end, and it'll immediately pop up for you. San Francisco Punk Museum on Facebook has lots of information. LA Punk Museum, LA Punk Museum Official, Berlin Punk Museum, Los Angeles London Punk Museum, all of those are on Facebook, all kinds of fun stuff going on. New York Punk Museum is really fun because it's the early New York scene. And it's like, I have Punk TV. It's Punk Museum Presents Punk Television, and there's all kinds of punk movies. Basically, the word punk denotes films that were made between 74 and 84 in extreme wild style.
And is there any way, listen, when people go to this, because I want people to kind of get to all of this, the TV, the everything, can people find all of these different all of these different things through that one particular site?
Yeah,
okay.
It's everywhere. I mean, it's just, you Google punk museums and they'll pop up.
Listen, we appreciate what you do. Everybody, make sure you check out the site. We're going to post it and everything like that so everyone can know where to get tickets. It's tomorrow. It's going down.